Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Here we are at Amy Park in beautiful Melbourne for the qualifying final that will be this afternoon. The Storm taking on the Raiders. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires at Amy Stadium, and Ryan Girdler, who of course called last night's game, the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. 30 points to 6 on that tie power scoreboard. Girds was there calling that, and he is in Sydney. Welcome to you all.
So good, yes, to be here.
Mate, it's great. Early start. I've got to say, It's great away trip. You know, we've worked hard all year.
Yeah.
There's just something that's missing, you know.
What's that?
Ryan Girdler. I feel like we are as one, yeah, but there's been a part of me that's left behind.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Wendell.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Gertz.
Yeah. Ryan, you were there, of course, a very special family occasion.
Yeah.
The 10th birthday, is it?
Yeah, my eldest daughter, Olive. It's her 10th birthday today, Tony. So my wife has been organising a bit of a birthday party, plus obviously calling the game last night at the SCG. So,
yeah.
Been organising a party for a while, and it was something that I couldn't miss. It might have cost me my marriage, Tony, and it's something I did consider for 24 to 48 hours, but in the end, I think I made the right call.
I think so, mate.
I think you did. The Roosters made a huge statement last night. As I said, 30 points to 6 over the Rabbitohs. Wendell Saylor made a huge statement this morning. Gertz, just to fill you in on what's happened, you know, since we've been apart. This morning we went, obviously flew down together, which was a terrific opportunity just to bond, just for the three of us to get to know each other a little better. And then we went to breakfast, to consummate the relationship. And it was terrific. And you are someone, Gertz, who works in the hospitality industry. Wendell, do you know what his breakfast order is?
I can only imagine, Tony.
It's eggs over easy.
Oh, no one eats eggs over easy.
There's no such thing, unless you're in America.
It's like a well-done steak. I mean, it's offensive to the kitchen.
Yeah, I know, but I do. That and some bacon and some sourdough and some skim milk and that.
Wendell, they didn't come over easy. They came sunny side up, yeah, American style.
That's all right, but, you know, I was hungry, so the big dog had to eat.
He also ate some of my breakfast.
Oh, no, he said,
I sourdough. Said no toast, and he said, no, I'll have it. So you ate the toast on the side, asked for extra butter as well.
Yeah, it's one of those days where I need a lot of energy today, Emma.
Yeah. I just need to get one other thing off my chest before we go further. Producer Charlie, look, he's a terrific young man.
Great young man.
But sometimes he just gets a bit ahead of himself.
Yes.
Above his station, I think it's described. We all went to the lovely hotel, the QT Hotel.
The QT Hotel.
We checked in. A couple of people offered an upgrade. One being Charlie. Now, the talent, i.e. me, wasn't offered an upgrade. Now, Charlie accepted the upgrade.
He's
now on the 11th floor in some kind of executive suite.
Yes.
Where,
seventh?
You're on the seventh.
Yep.
Yeah? Okay.
Emma, where are you?
I'm on the seventh.
Yeah.
I'm on level two. I look into where the kitchen, the stuff comes in, the trucks arrive and leave for the kitchen. I just think it behoves a person who is producer of a show to say, hey, Tony, it's okay. You take the upgrade.
Yep.
You're clearly more important than I am.
Yeah.
Up you go.
Is it a talent producer issue, or is it an age thing? Because it was back in the day when you go for a room with your roommate, you go away on a trip to play an away game. It was basically who had the more runs on the board, who was sort of more experienced.
They'd
get the big bed and the other guy would just take what's left over. So what do you think it is? Is it an age thing? Is it experience in the industry thing?
Well, or
is
it just
is it basically just a new age thing where they just don't care?
Is that what's really
getting to you the most,
that's it,
Tony?
That's the point.
If it was an age thing, I would have been on the 40th floor, obviously.
Yeah.
No, it is just
56th floor, wouldn't you?
58th.
Maybe it was actually Charlie wasn't happy. We got to the airport and everyone's mingling and he said, where's Tony? And then we noticed Tony over in the corner all on his own, didn't want anything to do with the rest of us.
That's
just
not
all
the
of
corner, Em. That's the Qantas lounge where Tony was. Left you guys out the front.
That's what he does, doesn't he?
Just keeping to himself. Too good for everyone else, Tony was.
I was busy preparing. There's so much to get through today. As I said, that game last night, 30 points to 6. The Roosters have made an absolute statement to kick off this final series. And here we are at Amy and Melbourne Storm. And bizarrely, the Roosters are such such strong favourites now for this grand final to go back to back. Yet we're going to look at a team this afternoon at 5:40 at that kickoff who have gone through and statistically are the best NRL side since the St George side of 1958 in terms of the points against them cumulatively over the year. It's been an amazing season for the Melbourne Storm. Yet after what was produced last night, Melbourne are really going to have to do something special for anybody to put them ahead of the Roosters. We're going to get to that game very shortly. Boyd Cordner is going to join us.
Oh, how good.
He was terrific when he came back for the Roosters as well. There is so much ahead at Saturday Triple M NRL. We're at Amy Park in Melbourne. Obviously, the kickoff is 5:40, so we were the first people here. Luckily, the NRL did leave a key under the mat for us to get in. It's going to be a great afternoon, great evening. The weather is beautiful in Melbourne, about 16, 17 degrees by 5:40, the kickoff right now. Blue skies, sensational day. Last night, it was the Roosters at the beautiful Sydney Cricket Ground, 30-6 over the Rabbitohs as they look at that Tyre Power scoreboard, Tyre Power's footy finals catalogue full of big brands deals is online now. Visit www.tyrepower.com.au. Gerds, you were there. I guess the big point out of this game, other than just how impressive the Roosters were, was that Jared Waerea-Hargreaves may well find his way back to. He's got a permanent seat there at the judiciary. He was there last week. He may challenge once more. Em, what is the charge after this tripping? What will he miss?
So he's going to miss 1 week.
Yep.
If he takes the early guilty plea. But if he goes to the judiciary and he's unsuccessful, he still gets a week anyway, so you may as well roll the dice and go to the judiciary, which of course would mean he misses the prelims, so he's got to cross his fingers and hope that the Roosters get to the grand final.
I saw you quoted this morning, Gerds, as saying tripping a fairly serious event.
Well, it always has been deemed pretty serious, hasn't it, Tony? And I think the wires get a little bit crossed. Well, they do for me anyway in relation to what's contrary conduct and what's a tripping charge and what's a fine and what gets a grading and then when does a suspension become evident. And in this case, obviously, we're thinking it's a grade one tripping. So he's certainly made an action towards a player with his foot. Like, I mean, if that's not a trip, I don't know what is. The thing is, for Jared, obviously they've got this week off. So if he wants to take it to the tribunal on Tuesday, well then it doesn't take a lot of out of his week, and he can still prepare okay because he's got obviously another week to prepare if he does fight it. And
he's
and
got his own car park there.
Does get cleared, but look, you know, there wasn't much in it, and I think that'll be obviously when he goes to the and how he fights it, but. There was a little lift of the leg, and he did make contact with Roberts, and Roberts fell over.
What did you make of it, Del?
Yeah, look, I saw the replay this morning. There was enough in it with Gerds. I think he got beaten, obviously, but just as you get beaten, I think a bit of reflex as well. He stuck his leg out, and I'll be honest, I've been in that position as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I was in rugby, so I got 10 minutes for it at that stage.
10 minutes? Did you miss any games though?
No, I didn't miss any games.
It's so quick. It's so quick. You don't think it was. It wasn't deliberate, and it's not as if he thought about it. I just don't think that he should be missing a prelim final.
Yeah,
I know the whole issue is he has carryover points, but I don't know. We were speaking on our way here, Tony, about can they have something for minor offences? Do you have a clean slate when it comes to the finals? Because to miss such a big game is something so minor.
Which is what would have happened last week, for example, with Sam Burgess. Yeah. The pulling of the hair. If he didn't have all that loading, maybe he would have the fine or whatever it may be. It's not a bad idea. I know that Andrew Johns has talked about the notion of missing finals footy is very different, obviously, to what goes on the rest of the year.
Well, they should raise the points, Tony. That's what they should do. We've been talking about this for years. The finals points should be worth more than just the average NRL game, and so should State of Origins and then obviously grand finals as well. So one way they could come up with a solution would be to make a finals game worth 250 points and a grand final maybe worth 300 points and an Origin worth 200 points or whatever it may be. But the fact that everyone says this time of year when it comes down to the suspensions, oh, they can't miss a finals game for that. Well, if they want to do something about it, why don't they raise the amount of points that finals or big games are worth?
Trent Robinson, the Roosters coach. Now, I don't think he'd actually seen it. I think he was heading down from the coach's box just as the game was finishing and saw on somebody's phone there were replays of what was going on. This is what he had to say after the game.
To be honest, I walked past and I just saw the trial by media already happening. I saw somebody looking at a phone and Channel 9 playing it over and over and over again. So that was as much as I've seen it. That's where we're at. I don't think my opinion's going to be, you know, the speed of play and all of that, if, you know, it'll be my opinion's not going to count if they've already started doing all that.
Is it really trial by media? I mean, surely that's part of the story, isn't it? What's gone on, and Jared Waree Hargreaves, and if, you know, Channel 9, whoever, chooses to play it over and over again, they're just analysing a key moment in the game or key to what is going to happen in the next round.
Absolutely. And no matter what, you know, the media sometimes with previous charges have gone really hard and said a player should get this amount, but then when the player goes to the judiciary, it's completely different and the media blow up. So it's not really, the media don't have an influence on the result. I mean, they'll instantly start having an opinion on it.
Of course.
But that's not going to influence and how many weeks Jared's going to get.
Yeah, I know. But it did stand out. Like, the Roosters, obviously, you know, they played some really good football in that first half especially. Mate, they started that first half like they did in the grand final. You know, the Storm had no answers from it. It's like last night, you know, South didn't know what hit them. And that is a talking point. It's a bit like the Canberra Raiders with Hudson Young. That was a massive talking point. Ricky sort of, you know, which we'll get to later, he had a problem with, you know, trial by media as well.
Yeah. Well, whether it's trial by media or not, I mean, last week, as we said, Jared Waree Hargreaves, he faced the judiciary and he got off. And it was certainly a story leading up to it. And I'm sure that's what's going to happen. He will face the judiciary on Tuesday night and we'll see how that goes. Okay, let's get to the game. They were super impressive, the Roosters, weren't they, in that 30-6 win just from the outset. And Luke Keary coming back into the side was enormous. That lovely little reverse play when they packed
down the right
blind side on the last tackle was just one of those things. That I don't know, they worked that at training and it comes off to perfection. They look sweet, Gerds.
Yeah, they were outstanding, weren't they, especially in that first half. Obviously had a couple of disappointing results against the Rabbitohs this year. I think round one they got beat, and obviously the last round of the season they were also beat. But, you know, the Rabbitohs last week had a fair bit to play for given the fact that there was a top four spot on the line, and the Roosters, well, they'd locked up second space. So you could understand why when the Roosters got out to a little bit of a lead that they relaxed and South Sydney got back into the contest and went on to win it. But the Roosters last night, with pretty much everyone on deck, the fact that they had Hargreaves back out of the tribunal and obviously Keary coming back and just... They were just so well connected. Their outside backs bringing the ball out of their own end were just fantastic in Morris and Tupou. And then, you know, by the time their forwards got the football, it was on about the halfway line. And then the kicking game from Keary and Kronk was just so well put together. And then whenever they earned everything that they got last night, that was the most impressive thing. They were just so... they were so on the ball. Everything they touched turned to gold. And what a performance it was.
Yeah, and I reckon the Roosters, mate, they're such a selfless team. Like, everyone did their job. Even Tedesco, like, he's the best player in the game at the moment. I know Cam Smith's playing some good footy, but he doesn't overplay his hands. So he knows when he gets the ball that he's going to attract some attention. He gets it to Manu. And I'll say this again consistently. Joseph Manu plays better football than Latrell Mitchell. I can't believe how he looks inside and then he knows the awareness of where his winger is, throws it to Brett Morris at the back. It's a freaky shorter play. And then, you know, just the confidence that they have in one another, their bench, that they know their role, they don't overplay it. And even in the second half there, you know, Boyd obviously got a little bit of an injury there, but they're just such a confident outfit. Victor Radley, I've never really known him to kick, but because he's been going to number nine there, you know, this year to cover for Jake Friend, he's got that confidence enough to put the kick in there.
Yeah, and it's been good that Sam Verrills has been doing such a good job that Victor's been able to go back to locker where he's far more comfortable. But it was so good to see Luke Keary back. Missed last week because he and his partner had their first baby. But so good to see him back, Gerds. I think you predicted it 3 try assists.
I think you did.
So that was your bold prediction. So congratulations on that one. But Luke Keary was just
wasn't
he absolutely outstanding? And I love the whole subplot that he came from Souths, and one of those things, as soon as, you know, he had that supposed falling out with Russell Crowe and then straight to the Roosters, wins a premiership with them and then terrorises the Bunnies again. It's a nice subplot to this long-standing rivalry that those two clubs have.
But who set the standard? You know, Jared Waree Hargreaves, I think he had 120, 130 metres in the first half. He was pushing through the line. And that's, I mean, when you miss a guy like Sam Burgess, he's the guy that's going to take Jared, and we know that. And he wasn't there. No one really stepped up to it. And we'll talk about the Bunnies later. You know, they a few positional changes with Ellis Johnson and that, and Dewey, they just couldn't go with him in the first half. As much as they tried, they made mistakes. Even Cam Murray doesn't make too many mistakes. First touch he gets, he drops drops the ball.
Yeah. Boyd Cordner was terrific, the skipper again. As we said, he went off a little early, had a quad injury. We're going to speak with him, so we'll find out exactly how that is. He did bounce off. There was a Jaden Sewer tackle early.
Oh,
straight back up. That was
unbelievable.
Incredible.
Tough.
Jaden Sewer injured himself making that tackle, and Boyd just said, thanks for that, straight back up.
That's a young pup, you know, trying to hunt the big dog, you know.
Hunt.
Mate, see, there you go.
Emma Lawrence.
Emma Lawrence. Honestly.
No, that's what I thought you said.
No, you know what? You know what? Sid Bean, into the corner. You told me you'd be at your best today.
While you two have a long, hard look at yourselves, I just. We heard from Trent Robinson before about Jared Warrior-Hargreaves. He also spoke about the scoreline, what could have been with how well the Roosters were playing. Have a listen.
So there's that 30-6. You're sitting there going, I'm really happy. And then you're going, hang on. I thought we could have had 50-0 there. Why didn't we have 50-0? Come on, let's. I know that sounds a bit greedy, but I think that's the truth. So why didn't we get it? I don't think I'm alone in thinking that could have been the scoreline. If we executed better in the second half, that short side, we should have nailed that. There was a couple of line breaks there. They shouldn't have been there. And that's a credit to South for coming up with those plays. But that's, as a coach, you're going, come on, let's fix that.
That's brutal, isn't it?
That's brutal. That's
brutal. But he's right. Like, I mean, at half time, you were just, you were sitting there watching the game thinking, this could be 50. This could be 50.
Yeah.
And we said it in the break during the call. It's like, if South City don't come and produce something in the second half, you can basically think they're going to go out in straight sets. Because if the Sharks get up against Manly today and South were to come off like a 50-0 drubbing, well, then you wouldn't think they'd take much into next week. But not sure whether the South obviously played a fair bit better in that second period. But, yeah, they just eased off the throttle just a little bit, the Roosters, and that's why South scored that try, and then that's why they didn't go on with it completely.
But what does what Trent Robinson say? What is that saying to the rest of this finals competition where the team has gone out and done something? As I said before, they've made a statement. He's making just as emphatic a statement. Is he saying, well, it could have been 50? He's saying we're here, we are the big dogs, as you would say, Del.
Yeah, but that's what you want. You want your coach to go out there, not talk yourselves up, because everyone's been talking about Melbourne, how good they are, and like they've won the minor premiership by this amount of games. And Melbourne will be sitting back just watching that. But last night, I don't think that first 40 minutes, no one could have stopped what the Roosters were doing. And they haven't had I don't think there's been too many times that they've had their first, like, 17 or their fit 17. I think Jake Friend was the only guy missing last night. But, geez, I mean, what they had last night, it was pretty good.
It's Trent Robinson, it's crazy. Throughout the entire season, every time they put on a performance like that, he's always got the same attitude. He's never 100% happy with what they've done. And I guess it just goes to show teams are keep saying they want to make the top eight or they want to win a game. No, they expect to win the comp. So until they do that, he's not going to sit back and give his team a rap until they're holding that shield.
And I think that's exactly why that, you know, we haven't seen anyone go back since 92, 93.
Thanks, Goods.
And congratulations on that, Wendell.
Thanks,
too. Were you part of that? Are you that old, eh?
Yeah, I was on the bench, yeah.
Okay. Does that count?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
When you're on the bench. Both years, but
yeah. There's 21 man bench, so I was one that settled up beside Tina Turner,
So Wendell can tell you firsthand that the hardest thing about going back to back is obviously getting to that in that finals campaign the year after, then having as much desire as the teams around you that have been waiting so long to obviously win the premiership. And I just think obviously now Trent Robinson's, he's done it once there with the Roosters, and they weren't able to obviously defend the title. But you can just see this year the mentality is so different with these guys, and they focus just on the small parts of their game and the little efforts, and being so, you know, we're so brutally honest with them that the desire seems to be there. And I think that's what's really scary, because if you look at the roster, I think they've got the best roster in the competition. Now, you think that because they've won the comp last year, are they going to fall into the same trap as most other teams do after when they need to defend the title? But then the way that they played last night says that they've got the mentality to go all the way again. It's frightening for the other teams.
And I think it's been a blessing in disguise that they've had certain injuries. Not so much Jake Friend, but boy, you know, he's been injured for a little bit, and there's been different players. Brett Morris, even though he's 250 games for Brett Morris last night, well done. An elder statesman. They've brought some older players in like Ryan Hall, the young players. It's been a great mix, you know?
Yep. Well, they're through to a prelim final. A bit of business to get out of the way there this week. I'm sure they'll be heading to the judiciary. As we mentioned with Jared Warrior-Hargreaves, they'd love him to be running around in a fortnight. All right, what does it mean for the South Sydney Rabbitohs? That's next, Saturday Triple M, NRL. Lovely to have your company. All leading towards that 5:40 kickoff. It's the Storm and the Raiders, a qualifying final played right here, Amy Park in Melbourne. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires here. Ryan Girdler is with us from Sydney. We're going through this game last night. The Roosters, too good for the Rabbitohs. Terrific performance, 30-6. We've talked about the Roosters and how important that win was for them and how impressive it was. What about the Bunnies? How do you go from that first week of the finals? They'd come off a win against the Roosters the week before. They get a bit of a shellacking in terms of mindset now as they sit and wait for next week. Del, how does that feel for them?
Well, look, I think because they've got a guy called Sam Burgess coming back, he will bring confidence. You could just see in the dressing room when they went before the match that Sam was trying to be real upbeat with the boys and stuff, but for some reason, the Bunnies, mate, they were off the pace at the start. There was a few changes that didn't suit them, which I didn't think was great. I think Wayne Bennett tried...
Yeah, indeed. Well, actually, let's have a listen to Wayne Bennett because he talks about that exact thing, about that change. Just have a listen to him.
Yeah, well, I made a mistake tonight. I put Adam Dewitt on the wing there. But he hasn't played there before, but he's played with such confidence in every position I put him this year when we've had all the injuries. Played halfback, he's played 5'8", he played fullback and handled all those really well. And I thought he would handle that, but it was a bit, maybe a bridge too far for him at this stage of his footy career. And so that was my decision, so I take the responsibility for that.
Well, it's a big one. Look, Wayne Bennett very rarely gets it wrong. I know he's done it before. He's made those positional changes, I think, like Josh Maguire at hooker for the Broncos at different stages and other things with the Dragons. But look, I think for me, The Bunnies really needed to start well, but also when you've got like the Roosters outside five who are just so skillful, got little trick players like they did on the right hand side. I think Alex Johnson, I think, set the trend earlier on. Obviously, the Roosters, they rolled up there, wasn't that great of a set. Latrell kicks it down. Alex Johnson, easy, pretty easy take. He obviously drops it, drop out, and then they score after that. You know, that's that first, and that sets the standard. Obviously, 30,000 people there last night, and I just think with South, you got to fight fire with fire, and they just couldn't go with him in that first half. I think I said before, Cam Murray made a mistake early where he's setting up for a play. Wasn't a bad pass, wasn't the best pass. But for me, the Bunnies just looked shell-shocked. And the Roosters, that start last night's as good as I've seen in the grand final. I don't think anyone would have could have went with them last night, even the Melbourne Storm.
On Wayne, do you think that – okay, so he's conceded, yes, I probably made a mistake, but for him to come out and not say, oh, we did this, but to say, I made a mistake, do you think that's a masterstroke, taking the pressure off the players? Because now during the week, when there's media, the players won't be asked probably about individual performances. It'll all be about, what about Wayne coming out and saying this? Do you think that's a bit of a tactic to at least take the pressure off the players?
Of course it is, man. We all know what Wayne does. And, you know, even I think putting James Roberts on Joseph Manu, I think, you know, in that left-hand
mistake
side.
With that as well?
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, look, I don't think he was the man to mark him there, and Joseph Manu will give anyone a bath. But Wayne just did a few things, and I think Wayne got nervous too. I think he even said, like, it's like a home game for him. No, it's not, mate. The SCG's not a home game for you, mate.
The good thing too, not only will Sam be back, but he said there's a 90% chance Dane Gagai will be back.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot about it. Dane offers him so much as well. And even, let's go back to Adam. Adam Dewey, sorry. Yeah. But look, he played so good. He played so well in that second half last week. He was a catalyst. We talked about Damien Cook and that getting him back last week, but he was a catalyst getting him back last week. Some of those runs he made and his confidence, and all of a sudden you go, mate, you go and play on the wing, and it's a specialist position.
What do you think he does with Gagai next week, Dale? Do you put him on the wing? Do you move Campbell Graham? Because it felt like they need some big bodies bringing the ball out of trouble last night. That's where you spoke about the outside five of the Roosters. And you put Campbell Graham in the centres, and that takes him sort of out of that play two, play three role in which he's so good there for the Rabbits. Do you put Gagai in the centres and put him back on the wing, or do you put Gagai on the wing, and do you move Dewey back to fullback and put Johnston back on the wing?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think Gagai plays his best football on the wing. In the centres, he has to overthink. And when you have Gags having to overthink what he's got to do, I don't think he plays his best there. And Campbell Graham, I think he's better on the wing as well. But Alex Johnson, I don't think he's back to full confidence, which you can expect. You know, he's had that injury and stuff, and it's just a tough one. It's a good headache for Wayne to have that.
They base their game around that sort of winning that middle battle, don't they, the Rabbitohs, and allowing that releases sort of Cook to get off some quick play of the ball from guys, you know, like Murray and Knight. But when the Roosters controlled those guys, it just took Damien Cook out of the contest last night. Like, I remember at the halftime mark, I was looking at MG. I said, did Damien Cook get an opportunity to have a run in the first half? He didn't. I think they got the football once down in sort of the 20-metre zone there, or the red zone of the Roosters, and a guy that never makes an error, Cameron Murray, drops the football cold. That was just kind of the story of their night, wasn't it? They just never had opportunities, especially in that first half. And you just got to put that down to the way the Roosters, you know, tactically came out and approached that game. They were just flawless in so many different areas.
Yeah,
good. I don't want to make you jealous, but they've just pushed the stage along right in front of us here at the commentary box. Band AC/DC is going to be playing a little bit later.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
are they?
Yeah.
Right here.
Oh, how good.
15.
Yeah. Really.
No, not really.
but there is a band that's going to be coming out. Yeah,
I was going to say we might have heard something a little more about that.
You would have thought
that was going to happen.
You would have thought. What about George Burgess? Will he get another opportunity next week? He's come back in after his long time out, and Sam obviously will come back next week. You expect to see George, or could he have played his last game in the Cardinal and Myrtle?
It's a tough one. I just Wayne has this knack of getting the best out of certain players, and he might give him an opportunity. Obviously, you know, the brothers there ripping in, setting a standard, you know, elimination. You never know, because I don't think any of those South forwards really set a really good standard last night.
All right, Boyd Cordner, one of the stars, one of the many stars for the Roosters last night, and the skipper will join us next, Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M rocking the finals as the Roosters rocked South Sydney last night at the SCG. You see what I did there, segue, Sam?
Yep.
Led by one of the great captains, Mr. Boyd Cordner, who joins us right here, right now. Congratulations. Fantastic effort last night, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It was, pretty good performance and good to get the win.
Just getting the business out of the way up front and early, how are you feeling? You went off a little bit early in that game after coming back from that injury.
Yeah, the body's fine, mate. You know, just given the situation of the game and knowing that we're up, I reckon if I would have been able to play out the game. I just didn't feel 100% when I was carrying the ball. And like I said, the medical staff had a chat and thought it would be smart to take me off. And if I was needed later on in the game, I was right to go back on. So, look, it's nothing too serious. At the moment, it's just it's good to have the week off, obviously, and just rest up, physio, ice, and then get ready for who we got to play in the prelim.
And just which bits of your body are made of elastic after the Jaden Sua hit when you bounced straight back up? That was incredible.
Yeah, he hit me that hard that I hit the ground and bounced straight back up. So it was a good hit. That was... Yeah, it was one of those things where he got me a beauty, so it's footy.
There was a couple of other incidents in the game, Boyd, that you can maybe tell us about. Luke Keary picked up some sort of injury, and also Daniel Tupou. Do you know how those guys are doing?
Yeah, they're fine. Keary just sort of rolled his ankle there, so I seen him this morning and he was okay. He was walking around. He's a bit ginger, but it's nothing too serious, and the same goes with Daniel Tupou as well. He's nursing a bit of a groin tightness. I think it's not too bad. He was the same there at the end of the game. We've obviously been up, taking him off, get him a rest, and then I'm sure that, you know, we'll enjoy this break with a few sore bodies and get everyone back to full health going into the week after.
Speaking of Luke Keary, you just have to sit back and think, wow, he just keeps getting better and better, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's dynamite, Kez. He's, you know, had a week off there. He's a new father, so he's on top of the world at the moment. And I thought, you know, it just related to how he come out and performed last night. He's set up a few tries and, yeah, just him with his hands on the ball, it's... he's been playing some really good footy this year, Kez, and had one of his best games last night.
He obviously hasn't been getting up in the middle of the night then, I guess, and doing the night shifts if he played that well.
Yeah,
he has, mate. He has.
Mate, I just want to know, mate, we talk about the forward setting the standard. Obviously, Jared, you know, he set the standard early for you. You obviously out wide played some good football. But even I look at a guy like Joseph Manu, he just consistently, mate, he just amazes me what he can do. The play that he did last night to set up that try, he's got so many different attributes to his game, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's really good. Just he's got that X factor about him, I think. And I don't think he knows how good he is yet. So you see it here and there in games. And I think, you know, just these last month of footy for him has been enormous. And like you've seen, there's not too many players in the game that can do what he done last night with that ball, like you said. And
unbelievable.
Just with he's really strong. Believe it or not, like you look at him, but he's so solid, just going edge on edge at training. Like he's rock hard and he's really hard to bring down. So he's you know, just with his confidence at the moment, he's really been a handful for other left edges.
Are you talking about Wendell?
Go away, mate. No, it's all good, Boydie. Don't come into his crap.
We're talking to Boyd Cordner, the Roosters captain. Super impressive effort, 30-6. Yet your coach comes out and certainly to the media says that 30-6, is that something you're satisfied with, or should it have been 50-0? Was that the same attitude displayed from the coach in the rooms with you as it was with the media?
Yeah, he was. He was really impressed, obviously, with the way we went about our business, but he doesn't want to get too far ahead of ourselves yet. You know, we've got an enormous task still ahead of us in you know, obviously winning next week's game. Two weeks' time game. And but he gave us a wrap, but still, you know, kept the lid on things. And, you know, it's still business for us. We've done nothing yet. We haven't won anything. So, look, he keeps us focused all the time. And so that's what makes him such a good coach.
What's your weekend look like now, Boydo? Are you going to watch the other games of footy, or do you have a bit of a break from the game?
Yeah, no, I'll watch the games. Obviously, you know, it's a massive advantage, I think, more so mentally, having this week off, so you can just fully relax over this next, you know, 3 or 4 days, and then watch some footy being played, and then, keep the body ticking over, stay sharp, and then, get into the week after.
Hey, Boyd, are you a guy that thinks about setting your own sort of records? Obviously, the last team to go back-to-back were the Broncos, 92-93, and obviously 97-98 with Super League in there. Do you think about that, or do you think about just what you do with your team, with this team?
Yeah, it's sort of hard to get away from it or deal with. Every question that's being asked now is, you know, what's it going to be? You're going to go back-to-back? And, you know, to be honest, there's definitely, we want to win the comp again. There's no secret about that. But look, there's still a hell of a lot of work to do and some challenges along the way. So, you know, we need to narrow our focus and, you know, just keep ticking boxes and preparing the best way we can. And as soon as we find out who we're playing in the prelim, I'm sure that, you know, we'll be as hungry as ever to go out and put in a better performance than what we did in week one of the finals.
The big fella, Jared Warrior Hargreaves, who we're making, following his well-worn path to the judiciary, you'd imagine, on Tuesday night. How did you see that?
Yeah, I still, to be honest, I don't know when the incident was, and I haven't seen the footage back, or I've been off social media. So, I haven't seen anything, actually, so I don't know if he's in trouble or not.
What do you think of the SCG? You guys have got a fantastic record there so far this year, and obviously got another prelim final to play there at some point. But what do you make of that ground? You've really made it a home.
Yeah, it is. There was a lot of talk about it, the surface and that at the start of the year, but it's probably turned into one of the best pitches in the game at the moment. Obviously, being a bit different, being a cricket ground, but like you said, we've made it our home. It is our home. We've got to embrace that. You know, wherever we play, we've got to turn up there and do a job. And I think that we've been playing some outstanding footy on that ground this year.
Hey, no one plays for individual accolades, but James Tedesco, Wally Lewis medal, Brad Fittler medal.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he can wrap it up with Dally M as well?
Yeah, look, I'm definitely, he's my pick for sure. Obviously, being the Roosters, being the teammate there, but I honestly think he deserves it. Just his consistency just sort of blows you away, and you know, when you see players like that and they perform, when you come to expect performances like that week in, week out from them, that's when you know they're a pretty special player. And for him to do that week in, week out, it's such a tough competition and against some really good opposition, it's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. I was surprised he didn't win the Gold Logie, quite frankly.
He's won everything else.
Yeah, there's some big decisions to make in a couple of weeks for the coach. You got Sammy Verrills doing a fantastic job there, but there's word around that Jake Friend might be available as well. Where do you think Robbo goes with that one?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. Like you said, Sammy Verrills has been enormous, and just with every game that he's played, he's been getting better and better, and the more confidence he's getting there. But you get a guy like Jake Friend who's back in the mix now with his arm, and look, he is our captain, he's our leader, and he's been such a big part of our team for so many years now. And the way he started the year before he got injured, his first injury there, he was, you know, if not the best player in our team. So look, he'll come back into the mix, and like you say, it'll be a headache for Robbo, but a good headache at that, I think. I think we've got most of our troops back on board, so whatever way he wants to go, we'll be ready to go.
Yeah, well, they haven't got a bad captain and leader in one Boyd Cordner as well. Mate, thanks so much. Congratulations on last night, and good luck for the series ahead.
Thank you very much.
Go on, yeah, Boyd.
Thanks, Boyd.
Thanks.
There is a great man. Boyd Cordner joining us right here. Saturday Triple M, NRL. Great to have your company. Lovely Saturday afternoon here at Amy Park in Melbourne. 5:40 is the kickoff. The Melbourne Storm taking on the Raiders from Canberra. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires sitting at beautiful Amy Park in perfect football weather. Of course, it'll be a little cooler by kickoff time, 5:40, around 16, 17 degrees.
Yeah.
But that feel, we had a walk out on it earlier, Adele. Firm and fast, was that how would we describe it?
Yeah, yeah. I think you put the key
unless
in there.
I'm running on it.
Yeah.
No, but you put the key in there.
I did.
Yeah. Did
you come back with the Achilles intact, Tony? Last time you were in Melbourne, I walked out in the middle of the ground. Didn't you go over in a big heap in the middle of the field?
I did rupture my Achilles tendon in the middle of the field. Okay. I was walking, but I was thinking of running.
Actually, speaking of running, the Women's Rugby League kicks off today, 3 o'clock. The Roosters are playing the Warriors.
Right here, indeed, that's 3 o'clock kickoff. That'll be perfect conditions for them. Ryan Girl, of course, is in Sydney. Daughter Ollie turning 10, the big two figures, obviously very important.
Well, while we speak about birthdays, can I say happy birthday to my sister-in-law, Catherine?
Okay.
She's 31 today. Mm. So
is that Chris Lawrence's?
That is. Oh, yeah. That's Chris's wife.
You're beautiful.
So happy birthday.
31.
I mean, I gave her a post on Insta, but just thought I'd give her a radio shout-out as well.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Just because I'm just not
31, Em. She's married. She's got a baby. I mean,
yeah,
I know.
Probably really content. Life's looking pretty good at 31.
I know. I mean, 2 years and I'll be at that stage. Well,
you'll be the age.
I'll be that age in 2 years.
Yeah. But you won't have done the same things like marriage, for example.
Yeah. Well, I imagine not.
No. Children?
I'd imagine not either.
Would you have children out of wedlock if Zach just won't and refuses to pop the question?
What, just with someone else?
Or
you're so random.
I was just clarifying
like
what you
thought
were saying.
About it.
Out of wedlock means without being married.
I mean, yeah. I just wanted to double check.
Right, okay.
You don't want you to be promiscuous.
Yeah, I'd be fine. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Be fine with that.
Okay. I mean, you're a woman who wears your laundry tag still attached to your clothes. That's very common. I've just
the
noticed.
Dry cleaning, yeah.
Oh, don't. Give the girl a break.
I haven't taken the dry cleaning tag off my coat. Give me a break.
I know, you're a workaholic.
And it's on the outside of the coat as well.
But I don't have any days off.
No, of course you
I'm feeling you.
I know.
Very busy and important. All right, why won't we play a little bit of this game?
Ladies and gentlemen.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5.
3 and 5! Oh, we love it, everybody! 3 and 5!
Oh,
I used to get really annoyed when Del sang that, and now I do it every time.
Yeah, I know.
It's just so catchy.
It's so catchy.
What was that song you used to sing all the time, Wendell, when Hoops had his segment? What was that thing? I miss that song. That intro.
What's the Foxy?
Oh, yeah. Give us a Foxy.
Yeah.
Give us a
Foxy.
Oh, yeah.
But it was more sort of, I won't say the word because that's it.
Who wants to win today? Who feels like,
I don't really care today?
I feel like it's Del's day. He's just got lots of energy. I feel like he's on.
He does.
On what? On nothing, yeah. On life. Early start too. I can't believe I'm at my best today. I got up at 4:30 this morning. Yep. My alarm went and I went, you know what? But, you know, then I thought, you know what? Three more weeks and then the big man, you're finished, big man. You've had a good year.
Isn't it for others to judge whether you're at your best rather than you?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I'm at my best.
I
love those conversations you have with yourself when they're so good.
Yeah, big man. 3 weeks to go, big man. You can do it.
All right.
Let's start with me. I'm ready to go.
Start with you. Okay, then. Well, what I'll do, because we're in Melbourne. Yeah. Ryan obviously isn't,
yep.
But we are in Melbourne.
Yep.
And we know that Melbourne is incredibly famous for its beaches. Name three of them.
Yes, St Kilda, Port Hacking, Port Stephens. Yeah.
You've gone Wollongong kind of area and then the Hunter Valley sort of area.
Port Stephens?
Port Stephens is north of Newcastle.
Okay. I got one.
Yeah, you got St Kilda. I would have gone to Brighton. I would have gone to Sorrento.
Oh, yes.
Upton Bay, Elwood. Thousands of them. Literally thousands.
No, Dell.
Don't worry. Next time, big man, you can do it next week.
Is that what you say too, Zach? Sorry. Over to you.
Who's being inappropriate?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm being inappropriate.
I'll go. I'll 5 minutes.
No, you stay right there. Okay, Ryan Girdler. Yeah. Yep. Can you name three? We're in Melbourne, as I said.
I'm not in Melbourne though, Tony, so this shouldn't apply.
Yeah, okay. Three AFL teams from the Melbourne area.
Essendon,
from Melbourne City.
St Kilda, and the Demons.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes, indeed. You've got three. Would have taken on Richmond as well. Carlton.
Anyone could.
I could have kept going, Tony, but it is three and five.
What about your team, the Geelong Cats?
Yeah, the Cats. No, yeah, they're
not.
They're a little bit out of the circumference.
They won last night.
Yeah. They did. They beat West Coast.
They smashed West Coast. Yeah. Unlucky West Coast.
We're going all the way, baby. We're going all the way.
You can equal, of course, if you get these three in five. The other team playing today is, of course, the Raiders. Can you name three former Raiders players who've become NRL coaches?
Ricky Stewart, Craig Bellamy, and...
Unlucky.
David Ferner, Mal Meninga. Kevin Walters.
Oh, dear. We'll give you some time just to stew on that, Em, if you wouldn't mind.
That's awful.
When we come back, there's plenty ahead. We're going to do some deep diving this afternoon, look very closely, obviously, at this game this afternoon, the Storm and the Raiders, but the other finals that are happening the rest of the day and tomorrow. Sensational dance card for you on Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.